Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. Follow on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. While you're there, check out Matt Derry's Locked On Lions podcast, also part of the Locked On Network. Today I want to talk about the new statistically generated rankings on ESPN predicting next season in the NBA. It's a post written up by Kevin Pelton. If you haven't seen it already, I suggest you check it out. A lot of good insight in there. Essentially, Pelton uses real plus minus to give projections for next season. He estimated how many minutes everybody would play, how their rotations would look. Took into account some prior injuries to get a guess of what players might miss games this year. And I've got to say, I'm a little bummed out about where this system had the Pistons. Because if you've listened a little bit, if you followed me on Twitter, I'm at Dan Feldman NBA. If you've read me at NBC Sports, you might have seen me hint around this a little bit. Sort of waiting to say it, you know, real bluntly, because I think it was somewhat of a bold prediction, but I was going to say the Pistons are going to finish fourth this year in the Eastern Conference. I think that's as optimistic as it gets. I thought I'd really be going out a limb. I thought it'd, you know, be a notable bold prediction for me. And lo and behold, here comes Kevin Pelton to steal my thunder. Because his projections have the Pistons fourth. Not only are the Pistons fourth in these projections, they're in the same tier as the Celtics and Raptors, who are 2 and 3. Of course, the Cavs are number one by a fairly wide margin. The system has the Cavs with 52.1 projected wins. And any system like this, any good one, regresses toward the mean, so it's hard to have a nice, shiny record in this system. It's also hard to have a dismal record when we know every year somebody's going to win 60-some games. Probably somebody in the East, maybe somebody in the East. But there are going to be teams that are going to be above this, and there are going to be teams that are below, you know, what the low is. You know, teams like the Lakers only have 24 wins. The 76ers are also at 24.5 wins. Somebody's going to finish with fewer wins than that. The way these systems works, it's not about predicting necessarily who that is. So it all regresses toward the mean. So for the Cavs to have 52 wins, that's a pretty nice number. The Celtics are at 49.8, the Raptors are at 48.8, and the Pistons are not far behind at 47.5. If you go down to fifth, the Wizards are at 41.4. So a pretty big gap between the Pistons and the rest of the field. Now, I'm not quite that optimistic. You know, when I have the Pistons fourth, I have them winning, quote-unquote, winning a deep tier. You know, that includes pretty much everybody in the East outside of the Cavs, Raptors, and Celtics, who I think are a cut above, and the 76ers, Nets, who I think are a cut below. And then the Knicks and Magic, I guess, are probably somewhere in between. I don't think they're quite in the same tier. You can generously put them there because those are two teams that seem to be trying to win right now, where the Nets and 76ers have a little bit more of an understanding, a realization that this is not going to be their year. So personally, I would not have the Knicks and Magic quite in that tier. But we're still talking about spots 4 through 11 in the East. So the teams I'm talking about in that tier, to me, I guess going in order of last year's standings, the Heat, the Hawks, the Hornets, Pacers, Pistons, Bulls, Wizards, and Bucks, who I think could make a decent jump forward. I don't think there's a ton of separation between those teams, but it's obviously going to make a great difference how it shakes out. We're talking about 8 teams for the final 5 playoff spots in the East, including one, presumably, who'd get home court advantage. So it'd be pretty disappointing, you know, to finish 9th if you're not that far from 4th. And obviously, once the season gets going, so much can change, and this might not look how it looks now. But we can go with what we can see now, and this these rankings from ESPN, they look pretty similar to what we see now, except that the Pistons are in a tier higher than I would think. Are the Pistons ready to challenge the Celtics, who won 48 games last year and then added Al Horford, a very good player? They have a fairly young roster. They have a great coach in Brad Stevens. I think the Pistons have an excellent coach in Stan Van Gundy, but Brad Stevens is one of the real coaching stars in the league. One of the few coaches who I think is better than Stan Van Gundy. They have a deep and talented roster. They have just a treasure chest of draft picks they can use to upgrade during the season if they feel like they're ready to challenge Cleveland or want to fast track their process a little bit. Are the Pistons going to be in the same tier as them? The Raptors won 56 games last year, bring back most of their key players. They added Jaren Sullinger, who could be a little bit of a below-the-radar boost. They lose Bismack Biyombo, though. They bring him Jakob Poeltl in the draft. Maybe a slight step back for them, I think. In some ways, they overachieved a little bit in the regular season last year. But considering they won 56 games and the Pistons won only 44, even if the Pistons make the step forward I expect them to make and the Raptors make the step back I expect them to make, I still think Toronto is going to be ahead right now. So I also see the Pistons fourth, but it's just sort of stunning to see them rated so highly where they're a strong fourth, where they're closer to second than fifth. You know, if you're curious, at number 5 is the Wizards at 41.4 wins. Number 6 is the Hornets at 41. Number 7 is the Bucks at 40.9. Number 8 is the Pacers at 38.9. Number 9 is the Hawks at 38.6. Number 10 is the Heat at 38.3. Number 11 is the Bulls at 37.3. And then it starts to drop a little more to the Magic at 36.2. Yeah, that's a real dogfight for the final few playoff spots. And if the Pistons can avoid it, I think that'd be a great accomplishment. To get home court advantage in the first round would be a great accomplishment for a team that hasn't won a playoff game in a long time. I really like where the Pistons are at, and I'm not totally surprised that the projections are favorable. I'm surprised they're this favorable. But the Pistons have a young roster. They were the youngest team, weighted by minutes played last year, of anybody to make the playoffs. Andre Drummond looks like a future star. If you don't consider him a star already, which you probably should, I think he's only going to get better. Reggie Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris, these are all relatively young guys coming into their own. Stanley Johnson could make a big leap next year. He was rough in his rookie year, which is not unexpected. And a lot of times players of that style who are just a little bit too reckless, they can make a jump forward their next year. Pistons made a huge upgrade in the backup point guard spot, signing Ish Smith. John Luehr brings another element as somebody who can be a stretch center. You know, you can question the Pistons' signings, whether they were the best use of cap space, whether it hinders them long-term too much. But there's really no arguing these guys help right now, and that's what this is about. How good will the Pistons be this season? and their signings will help. You know, where teams who are above them, not sure they all got better. The Heat lost Dwayne Wade. The Hawks lost Al Horford. I don't think Dwight Howard's going to match what Al Horford did. Hornets lose Jeremy Lin, who was a very valuable contributor. They lost Courtney Lee, who was a very valuable contributor. They lost Al Jefferson, who helped at times. Pacers lost George Hill to get Jeff Teague, which I think is a negative swap. A lot of people are transfixed by Teague's a little more flashy. They like it more. I think the Pacers are going to miss George Hill's defense, and he was an underrated offensive player. That he's young is a nice boost, but I don't think he's a real difference maker. Jan Mahinmi also helped the Pacers. He's headed out. I just think this is a team that shifted parts, might be a little more cohesive, able to play a style Larry Bird wants, but I'm not as high on them as a lot of other people. The Bulls definitely added pieces. They got Rajon Rondo and Wade. The fit is still questionable. The Wizards are actually a team I like for similar reasons to the Pistons, where it's a fairly young roster, and they're starting to build some chemistry. You know, they acquired Markieff Morris during the season last year, and they started to click a little bit. It was too little too late, but they took positive steps in the right direction in the same way the Pistons did. You know, I sort of compare the Pistons to the Trailblazers a few years ago. The Pistons are coming from a higher place, but when the Trailblazers weren't quite a playoff team but brought back a core of good players, and then they just took a leap forward and became, you know, worked their way up as a very good team in the West until LaMarcus Aldridge left, and then they had to hit the reset. But I see the Pistons on a similar track where, you know, their ceiling might not be super high. It might take a little luck to crack through that highest threshold. You have to time it just right, which the Blazers never did. And most teams don't, to be fair. But I think the Pistons are in a real upward track, and this projection is just a confirmation of that. It's more evidence that what we're seeing, that they're adding good players, they're keeping good players. Those players that they're keeping, they've had in the system a little bit. They're gaining cohesion. There's chemistry. This is a team on the rise, and you know, these projections, they don't necessarily count things like chemistry, not directly. So the fact that the Pistons rate so well, even beyond that, where there was some upheaval last year, they made a pretty major midseason trade to get Tobias Harris and to lose Brandon Jennings and disrupt the bench. You know, the way the chemistry came together was quicker than I thought, and some of those positive moments are reflected in these rankings, but the uneasiness that existed there, That's not considered. So all in all, I think it's a very encouraging sign. I think this matches the proverbial eye test of the Pistons as a team on the rise, and it's a pretty inspiring projection. Thanks for listening to Locked On Pistons. You can follow us on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. While you're there, check out Locked On Lions, Matt Derry's Detroit Lions podcast, also a part of the Locked On Network. Also, check out todaysfastbreak.com for NBA news and analysis. If you want to get in touch with me, you can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA.